and how to convey my friendship with the old boatman of Beihuahu, 100 Flower Lake, a 30-minute drive from Huashi. The boatman rowed me from a small landing. He stood at the stern, gripping two crossed oars while rocking back and forth to the rhythm. Behind him, the mountain peaks and forested slopes tumbled down to banks strewn with wildflowers and willows. The boatman lives on the lake. He is a buoy man, and the buoy worship water. And on water, the boatman is at ease, even as he rows against gathering storms and sharp breezes. He ferries me to the middle of the lake, to his home island. We scramble up the banks to a hamlet of wooden houses. On land, the boatman is a wiry gnome, running about, tending to chores, chatting. He tells of famines when the villagers lived on roots and leaves and the stems of wild plants and flowers. 70 years ago, massive floods forced his family off the land. They took refuge on the hilly island and subsisted on fish and rice and a meager income derived from rape oil. The walls of the central room are insulated with newspaper, on which there hang spring festival posters and photos of the boatman and me taken on previous visits. The floor is clay, the furniture basic, several wooden stools and a table. His grandchild, a boy of 5, sits on a stool beside him. We eat egg soup, soya beans and vegetables for lunch, washed down with white wine and spirits. Back on the water, he points out features of the lake and the surrounding landscape. The boatman views the world with a child's rapt attention. The features have stories to tell, and he is their interpreter. He releases a hand from one of the oars and points. Look, look, that vertical rock jutting out of the lake is a candle to heaven. Look, the larger rock in the middle of the lake is the general, and the rocks strewn around him are his soldiers awaiting orders to charge into battle. Look, that rock is known as the monkey. And those rolling hills are a flock of swallows. If you look carefully, you can see they are about to take flight. Look, and you will see them move, just a fraction. He holds his thumb and forefinger close and rocks the boat with unrestrained laughter, then sings ballads of ill-fated lovers. Even a good horse cannot go any faster to Beijing. Even competent officials cannot help a family in trouble. And even the most devoted of parents cannot help their children in their love problems. It is late afternoon. The boatman's strokes are precise and even. The oar slices the water, leaving barely a ripple. An igre stands motionless on a rock pillar. Wild ducks take flight and their shadows form black streaks on the lake surface. A flock of gulls pass overhead, wings gilded by the setting sunlight. A farmer carrying a mattock descends a narrow path, making his way home from his farmlands. The boatman falls silent. He scans the waters about him. He lengthens his strokes, then allows the boat to glide on its own momentum. The first stars are appearing. A crescent moon is rising. The islets and rocks are jagged outlines. The boatman knows I do not want it to end, that I crave more time to take it in. He takes a circuitous route back to the landing. The boatman is the vital force in the setting. Without him, the lake would be stagnant. He carries the smell of earth, water, and labour. He watches over the lake and watches over me. He instills confidence. He is there in the darkness after I am gone, rowing back home to his island, and his presence remains with me now, long after I have returned to my apartment.